You're listening to the Westside Podcast, a part of the LA International Church of Christ family of churches, worshiping God in LA since 1989.
Well, good morning, church. Great to be together. We have a little lighter crew because the campus, like EJ mentioned, is down in San Diego. And man, I love the campus ministry. They do bring fire. But the one blessing of the campus being down there is that I had the privilege of having my grandson with me because my son's a campus minister, so it's great to have him. Now, the teen ministry is here, and it's great to have our teens. I want to dismiss all the teens, head on out to the garden room. We will be meeting with the teen ministry for a class in the garden room. If you guys can head on out, teen ministry, that's going to be great. All right, so we've been covering the book of Ephesians. I don't know if you've been reading the book of Ephesians lately, but we've been studying it quite heavily as a church. And I recommend that you read the book of Ephesians over the fall, okay? There's something called dwelling in the Word of God. And as you immerse yourself in a text and you study it and you deepen yourself in it, it really begins to transform who you are. It begins to create a sort of a type of economy amongst all of us of a common language, a common thinking. And the book of Ephesians, the apostle Paul wrote while he was imprisoned. Many commentators think he was imprisoned in Rome. And so during that time, he wrote a number of the New Testament letters. So the content in there is rich. And I want to urge you to keep reading it. I was talking to a brother recently. He said, I have already read through the whole book already. I've done all the commentary. I said, keep going. All right. Do it again. The Word of God has a way of really seeping in, of changing you. So I want to urge you to keep reading, rereading, meditating on, and studying through the book of Ephesians. It'll unify us as a congregation. And I think it'll just create what God intends in each of our hearts as we study the material. Last week, CJ talked about, you guys remember how he introed with those songs? You guys remember the title of last week's sermon? We are family, right? Sister Sledge, right? We are family. And as you read the book of Ephesians, you find this concept just immersed in there about how God wants to unify people. We're going to talk today about the mystery that changes everything. And we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 3 in a moment here. The mystery that changes everything. And I don't know if you've ever been left out of a secret. Or somebody had a secret and you were the last one to find out. And that happened to me on my 40th birthday. My wife, and it's a mystery how long ago that was for many of you. Can ask me later. But this was an incredible time. My wife had prepared for months and months and months to have a really great celebration on my 40th. She had invited all my relatives. My 90-year-old grandma made it down. It was just my brothers, my sisters, my dad and my mom who had been divorced when I was younger. They both were there, which was amazing. It's like the only time I've seen them at the same event in years. It was quite an event. All my best friends from years of ministry were there. This is out when I was leading the church out in the Inland Empire. And it was an incredible time. If you know me, I love candy. She had cotton candy machines. She had huge centerpieces overflowing with gummy bears and gummy worms. All you could eat candy, right? I love steak and potatoes. She had all you could eat sirloin steak. And she had a friend of her brother's who was a chef who came in. And everybody was enjoying the time. It was a really good time. And I was totally surprised. Or I was like, wow, I thought you were going to do something. I had no idea. Somehow she pulled all this off behind the scenes. God is working to pull off something bigger than you've ever imagined. And he has done it. In Ephesians 3, Paul says God has been holding on to a mystery. Something hidden for the ages. And he's now revealed it in Paul's day to the human race. It's the biggest secret in history. And once you understand the secret, it changes how you see yourself, the church, and your purpose in the world. Amen. So we're going to unveil the secret. Now, the truth is, you've already heard the secret because we've read chapter 1 and chapter 2 of Ephesians. And layers of what that secret is were weaved into those chapters. In this chapter, we're going to read the verse where he just tells point blank, here is what the secret is. Amen. It's a mystery that gets revealed. And so let's begin to read the mystery from Ephesians chapter 3. And we'll begin in verse 1. It says, for this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, surely you have heard about the administration or stewardship of God's grace that was given to me for you. Paul calls himself a prisoner of Christ Jesus for us, right? A prisoner for Jesus on behalf of the Gentiles. And we, as non-lineage of the sons and daughters of Abraham, if we're not of that race, then we're considered on the outside in the history of the way the Jews saw God's kingdom. Gentiles are those who are simply not Jews. And see, Paul, he is in chains, but not for a crime. He's in chains for including people in the plan of God. He is imprisoned because he broke down barriers between people. He is imprisoned because he revealed the ultimate mystery that God had in store for the human race. And it says he had the stewardship of God's grace, the administration of God's grace. In other words, he was to protect and guide and take care of this mystery by passing it on to those who would also then pass it on to change the history of humanity, the mystery of the gospel. It says, that is the mystery made known to me by revelation. Now, the word mystery in the Greek is mysterion, which does not mean a puzzle to solve as much as really a secret once hidden that's now revealed. It's like unveiling something that God had hidden. It wasn't like you had to solve this puzzle. You had to wait till he revealed it. And so what is this mystery exactly? All right, well, let's keep reading. He says, I have already written briefly. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. And then we skip on down, and he says point blank in verse 6, this mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. This is the mystery. Amen. So let's pick it apart a little bit. What exactly is that mystery? He's saying there's no really spiritual A team and B team. He says, really, there's no like, hey, you're the in crowd, you're the out crowd. Now, he does have that. The out crowd is if you are not in Christ. But he divides the wall, the hostility that exists between humanity because of sin. And he has now created the plan that all people could become his people. There's no insider and outsider. And yet in our culture and in our world, I know CJ talked about this last week, the idea of being, you know, one big family. This is a major issue in our culture, that we have polarization. We have wars between nations. And since we've all been alive and all the history books we've studied, we've seen there's wars between nations. There's wars between people based on how they were raised, how they think. You know, the Hatfields and McCoys. Once you kill somebody, they want to kill you back, and it never, ever ends except in Christ. Today is that God truly has a plan for unity of the human race. His plan has always been in the mind's eye of God. He's wanted humanity to be on one team, but we oftentimes can't see it. And as the Jews, God chose the Jews, the offspring of Abraham. He says, I'm going to reveal who I am by how I interact with you and your people. And I'll give you the laws of Moses, the Ten Commandments. Oh, by the way, if you're going to be a Jew, you've got to be circumcised on the eighth day of your life, right? And if you later wanted to join the Judaism and the Jewish faith, you had to be circumcised. It didn't matter how old you were as a man. And so there was this outside and inside. There was them and there was us. And so as a person that grew up within the Jewish culture, Paul and all the apostles and prophets, they were mesmerized when they saw, wow, God always had a plan that everybody could become a part of his people. Now, all of us in here, we, you know about Christianity. We sort of, the mystery is what started the church. The mystery has been unveiled. We don't really see it that way. But the thing I want you to recognize is that it was revolutionary in Paul's day. The idea that the Gentiles, these people that were outside, not part of us, were different, were not God's people, could just become at one with us. I want you to think right now about somebody's thinking, a person, a culture, a background that you just think they're just so different than me. God's plan is to unify you with that person or that culture or that group somehow. And it's got to be the mystery is that we're going to be unified when we're in Christ. That was what we talked about. We're going to learn more about that. We study that. That's the message of the gospel. Being in Christ clears the foundation away so that you understand, hey, bottom line is we're all on the same playing field, right? The gospel. We're going to talk a little bit more about the gospel as we go. But what was Paul's role in this? I like what he says. He says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace given me through the working of his power. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. See, what's exciting is that we all are ushered into this same gift that Paul was given, this grace of being able to unveil the mystery, right? He's literally a servant of the mystery. And I like what he says, and all of us should be able to take the same posture. We should take the same posture. He says, even though I am less than the least of God's people, right? Less than the least. So I don't know how you feel about yourself out there today, but Paul says, I'm less than the least. And yet he was given the opportunity to unveil the greatest mystery in humankind. God wants humanity unified. He has a plan for that. And yet Paul understands he used to persecute the church. He hated people in the church. He was against people in the church. And every one of us here today, maybe we didn't hate people in the church. Maybe we grew up in the church, but a little piece of us at some point in our life was resistant to God's ways. And we had to face the reality that we needed the same grace that all people need, right? We're all on the same playing field. We all are sinners in need of a savior. It doesn't matter who you are, what background you're from, how you were raised. We all need to see. We needed this. God says, I have a plan to unify all of you. I'm putting you all on the same level. You all need me. And we're all less than the least in some way or another. I don't know. I've been given the privilege of getting to be a pastor, evangelist of a congregation. What a privilege. Partnering with CJ and Cherie and Carrie and I, we love serving. It's a great chance to give to people. But man, I got a lot of weaknesses. I don't know if you know your own weaknesses. Not long ago, I had a brother come up to me and he says, you know, can I talk to you a little? I said, sure. What's going on? He said, I feel like you always ignore me. Every time you just walk by, you just ignore me. I'm like, and he's a great brother, great servant, incredible guy. I value him highly. And I said, man, thank you for having the courage to tell me that. I'm so sorry. I do have ADD, you know, not formally diagnosed, but from all things I read, I can pretty much tell I have it, right? So I can either be really focused on one thing and I don't even notice who's in front of me, or you come up to me and all of a sudden my ideas go all over the map, right? I have it in my system. I'm getting some mentoring on reading books on how God can use it as a gift. I'm wired a certain way. But I hate the fact that I hurt this person. I love that he had the courage to tell me, and all I had to do was just say, I love you. You're valuable. I'm sorry. I'll remember the lesson to slow down and move slowly through the congregation because you are important. If I've ever done that to you, it's me. It's not you, okay? I'm less than the least. I wish I had the ability to just tune in. Like, my wife is so good. She just notices every situation around her. She's just like, she tunes in. Some of you are like that. You just tune in. Sometimes I can be one track mind, right? I'm seeing one thing. I got one goal. That's a gift of your ADD. You can really focus on one thing, but then you can be distracted from other things. I don't know what your weakness is, but all of us have weaknesses that in spite of those weaknesses, God has a plan to use your life to unveil the mystery to other people. No question. That's what he has in store for you, to unveil it. See, the reality is the gospel doesn't just save individuals. It builds like what we were talking last week, a multi-ethnic unified church that reflects this wisdom of God. It's the brightest light to humanity. Mark it down. The church of Jesus is the brightest light in humanity, and it is needed more than ever right now in history. You are needed. Amen. I love this verse 10. It says, his intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God, manifold meaning multifaceted, right? The multifaceted wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. I suppose angels who didn't know what was going on. I'm not sure exactly who all that is. God knows, but maybe there's angels. They didn't know that he had this plan to unify the human race. It says, according to his eternal purpose. So he had always had in his heart to unify humanity. He made us to be his family. He made us to understand him. He made us to reflect him. Our identity is not derived from how we feel inside. Our identity is derived from our Creator. He made us each unique, yes, but we're also completely unified in being image bearers of the Creator. And he has always wanted us to experience relationships together. Amen. And to have a family and be on a team. I don't know if you have a team you cheer for. I cheer for UCLA. Yeah. Come on. How many UCLA fans we got out there? I love it. I love West Side. The West Side's the best, right? And if we had our campus here, it'd be so many more, right? I love West Side. I love being here. It's just everywhere I go, it just feels like I'm at home, right? And I cheer for my team, whether it's high or low. I was there, and we lost. Our football team lost 4 games in a row. I assumed that it would be the single worst season in the history of our team. I was not feeling happy about it. But I came in after being 4-0, we were 3-0. We lost our first 3 games. I came in, and Mark Shump, our elder, he said, "Hey, you know what? I heard they just fired the coach." And I was like, they did. Okay. That means the institution cares about, you know, doing well. I mean, I liked the coach. I mean, I didn't like his results. I liked the guy as a person. But then I thought, wow, okay. And then of course things have turned around. Now we've won 3 in a row. I'm like, okay, it's nice to be on a team like that, right? It's nice to be winning. Well, God, he has a team. It's fun when you have loyalty with partners in something you like, right? Like, I know a lot of us are Dodger fans, right? And they creamed them. That was awesome. And there's that fun. Karen and I were out on the prayer walk wearing our Dodger hat. And, you know, everybody, we're walking down at El Porto, Manhattan Beach Strand. We're walking down there and everybody's giving us a nod, you know, nodding their, they all had their Dodger caps. Like everywhere you went, like the whole day we're walking down, everybody's like, yeah, Dodgers, right? That feels good. God wants that for us in the most meaningful things, more than our sports affiliations, right? He wants it in far deeper areas. And the deepest is that, again, he puts us on the same playing field. All of us are sinners in need of a Savior. All of us. It doesn't matter our background. We're equal in that regard. We all need him. Universally, we are responsible for what Jesus had to do to save our souls, giving his very life. And he says, I'm going to put you all in the same playing field. It doesn't matter your economic status. It doesn't matter your cultural upbringing. It doesn't matter your political thinking. You're on the same field because you have the same message from Jesus to change you, to transform you, and then to give away to other people. And God says, you need to be on my team. Amen. The church. The church is amazing. It does amazing things. I've seen it do amazing things. I remember at our 30th anniversary service, this was 6 years ago. It was just incredible. So many people from the West Side helped plant the LA church. I remember Marshall Craig's father, Brian, who passed last year, headed up all the worship. And I remember we sang this one song, says, you know, to him who is able to do immeasurably more. And it had one brother on the stage who was disabled, and he was singing this song. And another brother came up to me. He's like, man, I love our worship. I love the way our church does things. Because we don't categorize. We're not looking to win a Hollywood, you know, TV show by how we put this on. We put souls up there with heart. And God changes people. And this brother sang incredible. And it's just a beautiful picture when you see people of all walks of life, all backgrounds, serving God together. This brother passed not that long after the 30th Jubilee. But you guys all know Zoe. Zoe came up to me and says, "Man, that was incredible." And he was almost teary. I said, "That God just worked by showing his presence through people of every single background. That's how he works. It's his cosmic purpose in the world," right? Let's keep reading. "In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence." Amen. Because of Christ, we can talk to God, even though we're all less than the least. We're sinners. And I shared like just a character weakness of mine, that I can be distracted or maybe not as focused and gentle and loving as I ought to be. But we all have a lot of weaknesses, right? What is your weakness? Whatever it might be, it can make you not even feel like you to belong at church. You don't belong. You don't want to talk to anybody about your faith because you're afraid to unveil what's really going on, right? And sins, they grab all of us and they try to tear us down. Satan's, I read this earlier, he's filled with fury. He's trying to take you down through lust in our culture, pornography in our culture, pride, hatred, greed, social media, all kinds of stuff is trying to take your faith down. Just seeing your personality weaknesses. We all have weaknesses. Sometimes we have tempers and we lose our temper, right? Some of us can lose our temper and you feel real bad when you lose your temper. Takes you a couple days to recover and your apologies. And if it's real bad, you definitely need to get help. The idea is to overcome these things. But we need the grace of God. And it says right here that we can approach him with freedom and confidence because what Jesus did is die for all of us and say, "I love you in spite of who you are. I want you to be different. I want you to change. I want you to overcome those sins. But approach me with confidence because we're not to judge each other, point fingers at each other, say, hey, this person's a good person, that person's a bad person. We all killed the Lord. He died for all of us. We get to be on the same team with the same coach. Amen. I ask you, therefore, do not be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. Paul is imprisoned and he's like, don't be worried about me. I'm still doing the Lord's work, even though I'm in prison. In the same way, when you see tough things happen, don't get discouraged. Amen? So here's the thing. The one thing I really want you to know, I want you to get from these verses, the cosmic wisdom, the thing you got to know is that it's through the gospel that the Gentiles are heirs to, notice this, they're heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, strangers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. You see the unity right there in that verse? You see the power of that? God has always had a plan to bring everyone together in one place. That's always been his plan. Not just to forgive sinners, but to form one new family, to bond us together across nations. We are not just Americans. We are part of an international community. What's awesome, church, is that we've been taking the Great Commission serious of going and making disciples of all nations. Matthew 28. And so, you know, you don't want to feel like your identity comes from your national identity. It's got to come from your God identity, your God-centered identity. And what's cool is our church is affiliated with churches all over the world. And next week, you guys are going to get to hear from our brother who leads our fellowship of churches in the country of Jordan, Amman, Jordan. Shadi's gonna be here. He's out at this big meeting that I'm gonna join him at this meeting for a couple days next week out in Florida. And then he's flying back here and he's gonna preach to us. You've probably never met Shadi. He's amazing. Him and his wife are awesome. They were raised up in the church in Jordan. As young teens, they became disciples. And now he's the church leader and he's gonna come preach for us because see, we're a part of something that's international. Something special, right? The church is a family. Christ is our peace. Ephesians 2 talked about that. CJ talked about how he broke down the dividing wall, the barrier. But in Ephesians 3, what we're seeing is that we are now the living display of this reconciliation, right? And again, I love this. It says his intent was that now through the church, who's the church? You, right? The manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. In other words, his plan was always that you would be on his team and be a key player on his team. See, the church is not a club that you join. It's a miracle you get to be a part of. The person you least expect God to use might be his next messenger. I've often shared this story. My coworker, when I was a young stockbroker on the west side out in Century City, I had a coworker. He was an employee. He was like a college, I think it was a freshman at UCLA. And I had hired him as an assistant while I was working as a stockbroker. And he was a part of our church in, like, up near UCLA at the time. And I was living down a little further south. And I ended up going to this Bible talk in the church. And I came to work that day and I told him, I said, hey, I went to church today. I went to church on the weekend and I went to a Bible talk. He's like, what? How could that be? You are the least likely person I ever thought God would help. And then he sat there and in 3 weeks, I went through the Bible studies. We have a great Bible study series to help people form up their faith or align their faith the right way. And I went through that. I became a Christian and he just sat there dumbfounded. You were the least likely person. He likes to use the least likely person. You might feel like you're the least likely person that can help somebody. You're specifically the one he wants to use. That's how God works. And see, unity in the church is not optional. It's an eternal plan of God. See, we are the body. Jesus is not walking around anymore. He was. All historians, they know Jesus was real. And, you know, the evidence of his death, burial, and resurrection is very vast. All right, this is not a faith based on ideas. A lot of evidence. But now he's not physically walking around. Instead, his spirit is in us and you are the body of Christ. You get to reveal the multifaceted wisdom of God by the way you treat people, the way you act. See, church is just a little tiny taste of what heaven and eternity will be like. What's our goal? To give the human race a taste of what heaven is. So it's how we treat each other, the way we live. Yes, sin still attack, but we get forgiveness, we get hope, we get repentance. We can get over that stuff and we can show this love, this unity, this multifaceted love, this mercy to the hurting, right? This saving of the lost. You guys are a part of that manifold wisdom, revealing it to people. So there's one thing I want you to do, all right? A call to action. One thing I want you to do. Open the door to the mystery. That's it. Open the door to the mystery of God. You can do it. Paul had this responsibility. He said, I'm a steward. I have to manage this grace. You also are now a steward of this incredible mystery to pass along to other people. If you yet don't fully comprehend it, okay, maybe you need to get in some of those Bible studies that I went through. Ask your friend, ask your neighbor, ask one of the small group leaders. We want to help you fully comprehend that mystery because then you now have a responsibility and a privilege to pass and open that door of this mystery to other people. See, we don't own the gospel. We just get to carry it on. We're called to make secret and public, make the secret that we now understand public to other people. And so I got some practical, even more practical. How do you open the door? Here's three things. All right. How do you open the door of the mystery? Invite and include. All right, I want you to invite people into your life or include them in your group. So here's my challenge. Have somebody over for dinner, or if you don't have a home where you can have a dinner and cook a dinner, take them out someplace cost effective that you can afford, right? But be hospitable. Or maybe, you know, hospitality is a two-way street. Accept an invitation to somebody else's hospitality. All right. Either way, you're being included, you're being connected, you're being bonded together. All right. So how do we unveil this mystery? It starts with just love. It starts with giving up our own private time to let people in our home, make them a meal. Right. I know a lot of you invite Karen and I over and we invite a lot of people over. Let's do it more and more. Let's invite people over. And I'll challenge myself to this. People you've never had over your house for dinner. All right, let's take that challenge. Let's have somebody over and hang out and connect that we've never had over before. You guys with me? Let's give it like a couple weeks to get that done, right? Make a plan. It might take you several weeks to get it done, but let's have someone over. And when you have them over, even if they're a member of the church, share your testimonies. Make sure you know their story. Maybe they're not a member of any church. Maybe they're outside God's in Christ plan. Hey, that is exactly the way you help them understand the mystery is you share what God has done for you. And the last thing is, it's not going to be easy. There's obstacles. There's difficulties. You don't have any money. Steve, how can I have some for dinner? I don't have enough to pay for my own. God will provide a way. When you want to give, even out of emptiness, God provides a way. You'll probably get invited to somebody else's house if you got nothing. And that's okay. That's what we want. But be receptive. Don't be prideful. No, I can't. Sometimes we're so prideful. We won't even accept hospitality. But let's open the door to to the mystery and do not lose heart even when things get tough. Now, I want to close out with something interesting before we take communion. You guys ever see those things called stereograms where you look at them and you kind of have to go cross-eyed and then a vision opens up to you? That's kind of what God has done with this mystery of including all people. And I think it's still hard for us because we haven't grown up with this mindset of only Jews are saved. We've kind of grown up thinking, oh yeah, I'm in the church. And it's not as clear to us that God really wants one team. He really does. We got to see it. So I want to just give you a couple of seconds, see if you can see it. Here's a stereogram. You might hate this. I liked it. I get mesmerized by them. And it's a stereogram. It has a little picture of the cross, like Jesus and the cross, kind of an old-fashioned cross. And you can kind of see it. But you actually have to go cross-eyed to see this. Okay, ready? Here it is. I'll give you a second or two to see it. You actually literally stare at one spot and then kind of let your eyes relax. It's hard to see, huh? I'll put it online. You can look later. And once you see it, it's weird. You can move around and look. It's almost like 3D. You can see it from every angle. If you can't see it, that's fine. You can look. Well, I'll put it online. You can look at it there. You can look these things up. But here's the point. The cross is the ultimate answer. We have to understand the cross. We're going to take communion right now, but I want to close out with this verse. Ephesians 1, verse 7, and then chapter 3, verse 6, merging them together. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. Through the gospel. See that? His blood is the gospel. Is his blood shed so that we could now have unity with all people everywhere because we're on the same playing field, right? And we get this second chance through what Jesus did for us. Through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, thank you so much for this time to study your word, to let it move us. Help us to marinate in your word and to see and understand and then reveal the mystery to other people. Lord, the thought that you really do want all of mankind deeply in love and totally unified and totally connected. We see it all throughout your scriptures. We understand that Jesus, him shedding his blood, is the open door for us. It says to us that we don't deserve anything, and yet you give us everything. You give us forgiveness. You give us the hope of eternity. You give us a mission and a responsibility with our life. We're so grateful to you. Jesus, thank you for giving your life and shedding your blood. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You've just listened to the Westside Podcast. For more information about our ministry, please visit thewestsidechurch.com or laicc.net.